Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Friday. As we do every Friday at this time, we say hello to the CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, who is on the line with us and apparently has been waiting very patiently to talk to us since last night. So, Sean, good morning. Thank you for doing this.
You know, I've never been accused of being patient before, but I'm glad I was on hold for the past 7 minutes. Good morning, guys.
We wanted you to listen, you know, and enjoy enjoy the show.
Hey, Joe, if you don't mind giving me a moment, I need to make a public apology. So thank you for the indulgence. I mean, last night we were toasting Pete Weber, his 2,000 games, and really nice moment celebrating his wife's birthday. And, of course, Chase was there. We were waiting on you. You never showed up. And in the middle of the toast, I had tears in my eyes, some passion, you know, celebration of Pete's career in Nashville. I'm thanking him for all he's done. Chase takes out his phone, shows me a picture of him and some guy, and he's just staring at me, waiting for a reaction. And I said, I'm sorry, Chase. I don't know who that is. And just like you described, his voice started cracking. And he's like, you don't know who that is? I was like, I have no idea. Who is it? And who was it, Chase?
It was Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yes, I apologize for not knowing immediately in the middle of my toast that you were with a racing legend. And I feel so guilty. But Joe, like you said, his voice was cracking, and he was so mad at not knowing who the gentleman was.
That was Chase's biggest night ever. I mean, I'm surprised he showed up at work today.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a big deal. Sean, you know, one, you were done
good
with
morning,
the toast.
Guys.
And it was a great toast to Pete Weber, who just surpassed his 2,000th game with the Predators. That's what I keep telling people. 2,000 games with the Predators. Like, he's approaching 2,500 in his career, which is fantastic. But that was really cool. Obviously, he was presented with an award Tuesday night during the game at the arena. And, you know, Pete is truly the voice of Smashville.
Yeah, it really was a nice moment. And, you know, the funny thing about Pete is we asked him to take the night off to really celebrate, you know, with his family and friends. And what I love about Pete, he said, I'd like to. He said, I got to start on my second 2,000 games with the Preds. And that's Pete in a nutshell. He loves calling games, loves interacting with people. And he's not just the voice of Smashville. I think he's one of our biggest ambassadors to have generations of fans fall in love with our great game. And we're just grateful to have he and his wife Claudia in Smashville for the past 25 years.
Something that has always impressed me about this franchise, and, you know, truthfully, I don't go to – you know, other games a whole lot. But, you know, when somebody makes an impact on the organization, you as an organization make sure that you do a good job of honoring them. Obviously with Pete, and then John Hines returns last night with Minnesota. Guys do a nice thing for him. Why is that important to recognize those people, you know, even when they're not with the organization anymore? We saw it earlier this year with Ryan Johansson as well.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's funny. There are a handful of teams around our league that do, I just think, an incredible job with their alumni and personalities. And we've learned a lot from some of those teams. And it's, you know, once a Pred, always a Pred. Whether you're here for one game or 1,000 games, you know, we've only had four coaches in franchise history. And each one of them have contributed to who and what we are. I mean, poor John entered this team at a difficult time. We were out of the playoffs. He pushed us into the playoffs. A few weeks after he got here, the city was hit with a tornado. He immediately had the team, you know, jump in and start helping out. A few days later, pandemic hits, and he stayed in contact with the team, built a pretty good unified group, despite not being able to get together. And, you know, he put us in the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. And last year, you know, despite our separation, you know, at the trade deadline, we made a lot of moves. The team was just plagued with injuries. We played some of our most inspired hockey last year at that time. And some of the work that he did with those young guys, we're seeing the fruits of it, you know, this year, and we will for years to come. So, I mean, I'm personally grateful to John, and I think most of Smashville is too. Of course, you have a handful of outliers that are just, you know, goofy, who say odd things, but he's a big part of who we are and what we are. And it was fun to celebrate last night with him, and, you know, his wife and her friends and family and daughters were in a suite, had a chance to spend some time with them. You know, we got pretty close with the Hines while they're here, so it's a nice way to send people off, and history is told through a lot of chapters, and that's just one of ours.
I love it. Talking to Sean Henry this morning. Sean, I love this when the New York Rangers come to town, and here's why. Growing up in Nashville, I never thought we'd see the Dallas Cowboys come to my hometown or the New York Rangers. And every time an iconic team comes to town like the Rangers, I don't. It's really special to me. I know you grew up in New York and you're around hockey and you're, you know, the Rangers and all that. But what does it mean to this city? I mean, I know they've been coming here for 25 years. I know Gretzky came here that first year and all that. But the fact of this, you know, coming here and the people get to see these teams and growing up with it, I think it's really special. And if that feeling ever goes away, Sean, then I think that's a sad day.
You know, I agree with you. And I'm sure 20, 40, 50, 60 years from now, you know, the original six won't be as meaningful, you know, to the kids watching the games. But as far as, you know, guys my age or yours or even Chase's youthful age, it is still a pretty cool thing when certain teams come. Because whether you like it or not, there are certain teams in sports whose logos mean a little bit more normally because they've been around for 100 years or whatever it may be, or had a legendary coach like the Cowboys did. And, you know, I grew up a Ranger fan. Long, long, long ago, I dismissed being a Ranger fan. But, you know, for me, I hate when we play the Rangers because it just means, you know, every knucklehead that I graduated from high school with calls me, texts me, tweets me, tries to connect somehow on Facebook for some odd reason to ask who I'm really rooting for. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? But tonight, Rich DiStefano and his family, Jimmy Lanzarote and his family, Jimmy Britt and his family, they're all going to be coming in and begging me to get them tickets for tomorrow, and I won't. I mean, they'll probably get in the building, but I'm definitely not going to sell any tickets to some Ranger fans, despite, you know, going from kindergarten through college roommates with three of them.
Sean Henry is with us.
Good to you.
Go ahead, Joe.
All right, Sean, you get explain. Yeah, Chase, this is my time with my friend, not your time. Okay,
sorry.
You can just back off from that right there.
I've asked you this before. The Dale Jr.
Yeah, I'm looking at my picture of Dale Jr. So.
Right. Oh my gosh, we got so many jokes about that. All right, Sean, you're headed to Seattle for the Board of Governors meeting. Again, I've asked you this before. What is the Board of Governors again? What do you guys do? Do you sit around and drink?
You know what? They're pretty serious meetings, but there is a lot of time to have a little bit of fun, too. Basically, every team has a governor, you know, the person who is the final vote on everything, and then some associate or alternate governors. And at every Board of Governors, you need to have one of those people there. We normally send two, maybe three from time to time. But you vote on league matters, and you discuss things, and you argue, and you debate. But what's really cool about it, you know, you have 32 teams represented, so probably 60, 70 people from the teams, another 20 or so from the league. And what we're all focused on is this great game. And, you know, how do you make it better? How do you, you know, look at what's not as good as it could be? How do you grow what's really good? And, you know, I remember the first time I went, gosh, 20 years ago or so, I was so intimidated. You know, I'm a fairly arrogant, confident guy for some reason. And you go in that room, and what I was impressed with 20 years ago, and I still am today, is you really have, you know, 60, 70, 80 people working together, loving this game and figuring out how to make it better and better and better. And I don't think anyone epitomized that better than David Poyle. And it'll be weird. This will be my second meeting without David, so it's kind of bizarre. But I think Bill Haslam and I are going to this one, and it is a good time too. You know, and you look around the room and there are still guys in that room that when I was a kid, you read about in the newspaper, and it's kind of fun to be in the room with those guys.
Sean Henry is with us, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. And also Monday was really cool at Bridgestone Arena. I stopped in for a little bit before I went to George Plaster's bowling event, but WWE Raw was back at Bridgestone, and with CM Punk's return to WWE, it was history making because of the social media just attention that everything got, because that was going to be his first Monday Night Raw in almost 10 years, and it happened right in our city.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I know you're a pretty big fan, and obviously I love them because, you know, they do a lot with them. But my younger son's a really big fan as well, and he called me a week ago to let me know this was going to happen. And I said, all right, that's great. He said, he got very serious. He said, you have no idea what this means to the world. And I said, all right, whatever. Well, it turns out he was right again. But, yeah, it was amazing. Once they announced that, you know, sales for the event were incredible anyway. But once that was announced, we had to add some seats here or there. They redid the stage to open up some more seats. It was a big, big day and just another, you know, opportunity for Smashville to shine across the globe. So I won't lie, I never get an autograph. But I was with you at George Plaster's bowling event. Not that either one of you said hello, but someone did get me an autograph from CM Punk for my son. So it'll be a good Christmas present, unless he's listening, and then it'll ruin his Christmas present.
That's pretty cool. I didn't say hello because I didn't see you. I was in the late group. You probably were in the early group. So that's why.
I was in the old man early group. Yeah, early bird special, Sean Henry. I left my house the building at 2 o'clock to get to Hermitage by 5:30.
Yeah, well, that's you might have been there on time doing it that way. There's no doubt. Sean, appreciate it as always, and let's start a new winning streak tomorrow against the Rangers, and we'll see you at Bridgestone. In an early game, 3:30 puck drop.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I would have forgotten. But, yeah, 3:30. I love matinee games on Saturdays. Like Joe said, you love playing those original six teams. You love seeing guys in our building wearing red, white, and blue after the game saying, that was the best time I ever had watching my team lose. And hopefully that's what we hear tomorrow from Richie DiStefano and Jimmy Lanzarotta.
Yes, indeed. Have a great weekend, Sean. Thank you.
All right. You too, guys. Thank you.
Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. We'll shift gears, get into some Titans with our man Chris Sanders. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.